How'd your scene go today?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, that good, huh?
Actually, we got a standing ovation.
But that's terrific!
And I was a supreme bitch.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 6, Pass, Not Pass. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
How hard did the writer high-five him or herself after writing that line for Brenda?
I mean,
it's true in the sense of the episode, but it's also just pretty awesome. Let's get through this. It's so stupid. Pass, not pass. First, the B story. Brandon's stupid car is what I called it in our shared document, and I can't.
Yes. Putting really the Bray back in breakdown lane.
Than that.
That's where that's.
Yeah, we first you got to go to the visual aids to see some choice Steve Sanders man spreading at the beach club before that was a term, and also Steve Sanders pepperoni nipples, and then
pepperoni nipples.
Well, yeah, you'll have to look and see, and yeah. I think you'll find sure. That's quite
yeah,
accurate.
After some of the visual aids from our previous episode, in which I like slow mo gift his tiny shorts package. I don't think anyone's ever going to check anything that we tell them to ever again. And absolutely blind.
Possibly not. Anyway, Brandon is all... Summer's almost over, is established. Brandon has finally saved enough money from working at the beach club to buy his stupid car. And he tells Jim all about it in clip number 2.
The entire car has been completely detailed and re-chromed. It's got the original paint, the original leather seats, the original radio.
Yeah, but how does she run, son?
Well, the guy at the lot says she purrs like a kitten and runs like a cheetah.
Sounds pretty good. How about if I go into work a little late this morning and we can pick her up together?
Oh, I don't want to put you out, Dad.
Oh, it'll be a father-son adventure.
Well, I still have to swing by the bank and pick up the cashier's check before I can go pick it up, so...
Cashier's check? Brandon, if they don't trust a personal check from you, I wouldn't be too confident about trusting them.
Hey, Dad, this isn't Minnesota. Besides, what's the big deal? Simon's been holding the car for me all summer.
Brandon...
And since I'm buying it with my own money that I worked very hard for, I think it'll be cool.
Hope so.
Aw, Jim is so sad he doesn't get to tag along to Brandon's boner party at the car lot. Cindy does a world-class eye roll in this scene, by the way. Please go visit it at the visual aids. There's nothing untoward in that shot, at least. I can't speak to the others. but yeah, if you sense some foreshadowing in that discussion about how great this car is, you have seen a TV show before, because Brandon goes to pick up the car. As soon as you see this greasy mofo who's selling it to him, you know he's bad news. He overcloses after Brandon has already given him the money, so it's like, whatever. I don't know why we're belaboring this. Brandon takes it out for a drive. As soon as he stops at his first stop light, well, first there's a driving montage that's 500 hours long. Then he stops at a stoplight.
Ditto. We got it. It stalled. Everyone's honking. His hexagonal sunglasses are sad. Move on.
He does do a very funny take where he like puts his finger up to his lips in this very non-masculine manner. I'll just put it that way.
It's really great.
It's in the visual aids. I call it in my notes a Brand's pouty perplexment. And then he takes a cab back to the car lot, loaded for bear, full of impotent rage. And we hear all about what happens in clip number 3.
How you doing, son? What can I do for you?
Give me my money back.
Now, why in the world do I want to do a thing like that?
Because that car you sold me is at this moment blocking traffic on Sunset Boulevard. I couldn't even pull it over.
See, this is the problem of semantics here. The key is in the wording. That car I sold you. That's your problem now, son.
Give me my check.
I ain't got it.
Get it.
I can't do that. I mean, I'd like to. You're a good kid. I like you. I'd like to help you. My hands are tied.
Well, untie them.
Here's the deal, kid. You bought that car. Now, if you say you are experiencing some difficulties with it, then by all means, get that sucker into a good mechanic just as soon as you can. But that car was in prime condition when it left the lot. I know because I checked it out myself.
Oh no, poor Brandon didn't take this car.
So good on him. So good.
It is awesome. He's also, while this is happening, standing under a banner that advertises financing available. See that in the visual aids as well. I just want to note, my favorite part of watching this episode was, as Dave can attest, when we moved to Los Angeles in 2012, we had to buy a car immediately because we'd been living in New York and we, you know, you can't not have a car in LA. Everything they say on the show about that is actually true. So I researched it online and found a hybrid Camry, which we still have.
Its name is Minty Burns.
Its name is Minty Burns because it's mint green. We think it might have been owned by the Los Angeles MTA because that's what color their official vehicles are. But I took a cab out to El Monte, which was like a billion miles away from where we were staying.
God, I remember this.
Right by the Beverly Center. And I'd never bought a car before. I researched it. I looked it up. I got the price. It was like a price lock. I compared it on Consumer Reports. Did this all in one night. I got it. Did this all 100% by myself. And I was so proud of myself. And it was a good car, right, Dave?
It sucks.
You son of a bitch.
Felix.
No, it's a fine automobile.
Yeah.
You picked well.
Thank you.
I'm glad you did it because I didn't know anything about cars.
I didn't either, but I knew that I researched even the car a lot. It's this huge like auto multiplex.
It's like a little city.
It's giant. Everywhere you go, if you ever drive around in LA, you can see El Monte, like El Monte Lexus, El Monte Toyota, blah, blah, blah. Anyway. I really brought that up for no other reason than to say I'm still proud of myself for having achieved that.
Don't be such a squeeze.
Okay, fine. Jeez.
I bought my car because I saw it on The Amazing Race in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
When they finally came out here, the Smarts, I bought like one that's so early in the U.S. model line that they don't even make this color anymore.
Aw.
They had to reverse engineer cruise control on it, and they're like, let's hope this works. And it did. Huh. And she's, like, still on the road. I mean, I own her outright now, so I'm sure it's about time for a tree to fall on her. But even, like, test driving a car in New York City is a joke. Like, you go around the block, and
yeah.
Like, we good? And you're like, mm-hmm. Then they start the paperwork.
Yeah.
But at least I did that, Brandon.
Yeah. I might have forgotten the test drive part, but the salesman was very conscientious and he made sure I did it on a surface street and on the highway. Brandon, however, not so responsible, and Jim tears into him when Brandon gets home and it's fucking great in clip number 4.
All I've heard about for the past 3 months is how gorgeous this car looks. Everything completely restored, but next to nothing about how it runs. At least now I understand why.
No, I can't believe it either.
Wow. What about the warranty?
No warranty.
Oh. This is great. Did you even bother to look under the hood at all?
Yeah, but...
But what?
I can't believe these guys make their living by completely ripping people off.
What?
I knew I should have gone with you.
Yeah, well, you didn't.
You told him not to.
Where's the car now? Brandon?
It's got an impound lot in the San Gabriel Valley.
Oh, of course. That's a perfectly logical place for it to wind up.
Jim!
How, pray tell, did it manage to end up there?
Well, when I went back to the used car lot to complain, a tow truck from the sheriff's department just happened to be cruising by.
How much is it going to cost to get it released?
$250.
Oh, no.
Brandon, how could you throw away all your money like this?
Yeah, this isn't your problem. This is my problem. I'll deal with it, all right?
Yes, you will deal with it. But there's a lesson here, Brandon, and it's in Latin. Caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware.
And it sucks.
I think that music cue is because the Ninja Turtles popped up. What the hell was that?
Here's what I mean, as much as I enjoy Jim screaming at Brandon, here's what I don't get.
Sure.
Like, it's Brandon's money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So really your play is to be like, that's too bad, and then let him fucking stew in it, which, as we'll see, they're incapable of doing.
Of course.
But, like, Cindy is like, Jim, because she thinks he's being too mean, but like she should really be signaling him to shut up so that Brandon doesn't get the idea that Jim is mad about it because he's going to pay for it, because he shouldn't.
Yeah, no, he shouldn't. And he doesn't say that he will. Like, Brandon bitches about it to Steve several scenes from now, but yeah, you're totally right. The other thing is that for all of we've heard over the course of this season and the last one about how Brandon is so mad that Jim is still punishing him for totaling Mondale, for driving drunk, like, you would think that he would try and anticipate exactly what Jim is going to say about this car purchase and, you know, do the tiniest amount of due diligence just to make sure that Jim didn't have anything to say about it later, because he knows that Jim is against him buying this car. He's been against it for a while.
Now, and yeah, while I'm up.
Certainly.
In the first season, don't we see Brandon and Dylan working on Mondale?
Yes.
Like, so I find it, I mean, I enjoy Brandon's impotent rage, especially the impotent part.
Yeah.
Even though there's really no consequences to it, but it's really not believable that this guy would not have even looked under the hood or turned the car on.
Yeah. Like that.
I don't get it. Oh, whatever. Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. Moving on. Brandon goes to the Peach Pit because now he knows he needs to make more money and he has to grovel to get his job back. But unfortunately, he's been replaced by Lucy Liu. She actually is. That is her. A very, very young Lucy Liu playing this girl named Courtney. She's a kick-ass waitress, obviously way better than Brandon ever was. While he's there, Nat can't help needling him about how she would never leave with no notice. Ha ha. Good, Nat. Don't ever let him forget. While he's there, he happens to be sitting next to Mr. Suter, which will come up later. Cindy later yells at Jim for needling Brandon about the car. As we've established, we are on Team Jim about this in general. But finally, Brandon returns to the Peach Pit again because he still needs the money, and Nat backs down like a baby in clip number 5.
That new girl, she got the job pretty wired, huh?
Courtney? Yeah, I couldn't ask for any more.
She better than I was?
Not better. Different.
Taller.
Cuter.
Listen, Nat, this is gonna sound kind of lame, but, you think there's any way I could get my old job back?
Gee, I don't know, Brandon. Courtney's really terrific. When it comes to punctuality and...
Hey, I was always on time.
Job commitment. She wouldn't race out of here without notice if another career opportunity headed her way.
Nat, I'm sorry, but I explained that to you already. I had to go earn big tips this summer. I had to buy a car.
So where's the car?
Ooh.
It's a long story.
Not really.
Well, since Courtney's going away to college next week, I guess I'm going to need to hire someone.
How long have you known about this?
A while, but I guess I can give you a trial run.
Uh-huh. And you left me hanging all that time?
Yeah. Welcome home, Brandon.
Oh, God. Brandon is... I can't believe he's still trying to be defensive about how he screwed over Nat to go and take the beach club job. Like, it's Mondale getting totaled because of his drunk driving all over again. Like, accept some responsibility for your dumb decisions. They have consequences.
Nat is a middle American entrepreneur trying to make his way in the world. He doesn't need your bullshit.
Yeah.
He's got enough bad shit coming down with Obama in about 30 years. Come on.
Nat will probably be dead by then.
There's a sound drop that we could use here. Just saying.
I don't know. Is it this one?
Nope.
All right, moving on. It's Brandon's last day at the beach club. He bitches about his car to Henry like Henry gives a shit. They have manly handshakes. And then someone comes to tell him that there's someone waiting for him in the parking lot. So Brandon goes to see, and it's Jim standing by the fucking Mustang. There's a visual.
His fucking sweatsuit.
Yup. There's a gif in the visual aids of him standing there like the big man on campus. Like, stop trying to seduce your son, Jim. It's creepy. So they have this manly exchange in clip number 6.
What's my car doing here?
The music, no.
I know.
It sucks.
Do you mean your newly rebuilt classic 289 V8?
I can't believe this. You...
You worked hard all summer. Your mother and I thought you You deserve something to show for it.
What?
Nope.
I'm sorry, Dad.
For what?
For screwing up at the used car lot. I mean, I wanted this to be my major move towards independence, and I guess I was too proud to admit I could have used your help on it.
But if you would have asked for my help, I probably would have chewed your head off. Truth is, after you totaled Mondale, part of me was afraid to let you drive again.
But I told you, Dad, I don't drink anymore.
I know. But it took me a long time to be sure.
And now you're sure?
Less than a year.
Enjoy the car, Brandon. You've earned it.
Nope.
Too bad you'll be driving around in such a bogus set of wheels, buddy.
Yeah, a car like this, and you might just have to take me out.
Hey, don't get crazy.
Why that is even part of the scene, that's why I kept it, because it's like nothing is going to happen with that for like two more years. What's the point? But yes, as Sarah said, this is some bullshit parenting from Jim, per usual. Brandon learns nothing. Jim sucks. The end. Okay, moving on to the A story.
Wait, isn't there another clip?
Oh, yes, of course. And then
the return of our favorite 90210 terminology.
I'm so sorry. You're right. That night, it's the big luau at the beach club. This is the end of summer event. And Brandon tries to involve his friends in clip number 7.
Hey, come on, you guys. If I can make a fool out of myself out there, so can you. Come on.
That's because they pay you to be a squeak.
Three squeefs. The three squeefs of the condor.
We three squeefs of okay.
All squeef right. Of tears?
Yes.
Three.
It's the squeef hat trick so far. Will there be more squeefs? Stay tuned.
Anyway. I was trying to figure out something with squeef and trilogy, but my mouth wouldn't let me do it.
Okay, moving on. To the A story, which is Brenda versus Andrea. As Sarah mentioned in her outro of the last podcast, this is our final stand with Mr. Suter. And
Thank God.
Yeah, so it's the final project for the drama class. They have to do scene studies together. Brenda and Andrea are partners. And they are trying to decide what they're going to perform when Andrea makes the mistake of telling Brenda that she's obviously Mr. Suter's pet, and this ensues clip number 8.
You really think he likes me? Brenda, he's a teacher. Andrea, consider the possibilities. He's creative, he's articulate, he's intelligent, and he looks pretty good in fitted jeans. Brenda. He's our teacher. Not for long. Summer school gets out next week.
Mischievous
and aren't
music.
Are you in love with Dylan in his hellhole?
Yeah.
This whole storyline, like, Shannon Doherty does her best, but, like, Brenda, as written in her relationship to Dylan so far in season 2, is, like, so methily all over the place and nonsensical that I can't even. But anyway, I am making my comments under protest because it sucks.
It does suck. They do try to establish at other points in this episode that, like, Dylan calls and Brenda's like, whatever. But, like, it, as you say, it doesn't track at all. Anyway, Andrea goes to a bookstore. She's looking for a scene and practicing out her bad English accent when she runs into Mr. Suter. He encourages her to call him by his first name. First mistake. And then Andrea tells Brenda that she's figured out what they should do in clip number 9.
It's about these two women and their dynamics together. You know how their lives have intersected, their relationships with men. I don't want to intersect. I want to do a comedy. But you've done comedy before. Brenda, this will allow you to stretch as an actress. Besides, Mr. Suter suggested it. He did? Well, why don't we try it out and we'll see how it goes.
Hiya.
Hi. You know, the scene from The Turning Point was really a terrific idea. I was already thinking of taking a risk on a dynamic character piece.
Can you keep a secret?
Is it about me?
Yes.
Most definitely.
I intentionally paired you up with Andrea because, well, I think you can help her open up a bit.
Well, I'm flattered.
No, you're talented.
So Andrea comes over to work on the scene with Brenda. She's way too intense and analytical, of course, because she's Andrea. Both of them look terrible. Please see their outfits in the visual aids. It's not okay. The scene also has a slap, so you probably can guess where that's going from, you know, having seen TV before. Brandon comes home after running into Mr. Suter at the Peach Pit and tells them that he talked to them about him and how he goes to the Peach Pit all the time, and Brenda eats up his praise. And then the next scene, we see Andrea wandering in by chance to the Peach Pit, hoping to run into Mr. Suter. And of course, Brenda is already there. And then he comes in and he spots them both and they chat in clip number 10.
Have you tried the cappuccino shakes? They are incredible.
Well, you know, I used to work here. I even created my own original milkshake, Lavoine Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Well, I'll have to try it sometime.
Oh, if you want a phenomenal milkshake, there's this great place on Hollywood Boulevard called C.C. Brown's.
Oh, that's the oldest soda fountain in Hollywood. It's been there since the 20s.
I've been in L.A. all summer, and I have yet to really see the sights.
Well, if you want a personal guided tour, I'd be happy to take you this afternoon.
Well, that'd be great. I'd love a tour from two authentic California girls.
Two?
Subtle, Bren. Also, there's
also,
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I will go ahead. He just got through saying that he'd never been at the Peach Pit before, and now he's like recommending cappuccino shakes. Shut up, Mr. Suter.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's a gif in the visual aids of the two of the girls clocking Mr. Suter walking in, and you can totally see the boom mic over their heads, even though no one is speaking.
Again!
Check that out. So the next we see Brenda and Andrea and Mr. Suter in his truck driving around trying to outdo each other with knowledge of LA trivia. Andrea is obviously even worse than Carla in terms of like shoehorning in these facts about the city and geography and architects like anyone gives a shit. As an interesting time capsule, the movie when they drive past Man's Chinese Theater is City Slickers, just to situate you in time. They also wow. talk about who loves LA law the most anyway. Then it comes time for him to drop someone off. Andrea and Brenda both want to be the last one dropped off because they both want to jump his bones, even though he is their teacher. And he decides to drop Andrea last, probably because she lives a million miles away in the valley. But that doesn't stop Brenda from coming home and sulking about it in clip 11.
The verdict is in. He dropped me off first, not only first, but before Andrea Zuckerman.
What are you talking about?
Chris. Can't you follow along?
Well, what about Chris?
I like him. But it doesn't matter because...
Whoa, Brenda. I hate to break this to you, but he's your teacher.
Not for long.
Look, I don't even want to get into this.
He's moving back to Chicago. He's too old for you. And it's totally unethical for you to date him.
Tell that to Andrea.
Danger, no. Danger, music cue. Speaking of Andrea, as this is happening, she is still, she's in Mr. Suter's truck outside her house. It's now dark out, boring him about the history of the construction of the houses in the neighborhood like no one cares. But apparently he cares because then this happens in clip number 12.
This is kind of a difficult situation for me.
What is?
Well, tomorrow's our last day of class, right?
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping that I could talk you into having a cup of coffee with me tomorrow night.
Just you and me?
Just you and me.
I'd like that, sure.
Yeah?
I would love to chalk up this storyline to being a relic of its age, like the whole teacher dating a female student in high school, but it still happens. Like, it's still a storyline in Pretty Little Liars and many other shows that are still on today. I think it happened to Switch to Birth, too, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, and it, like, I mean, it still happens in life.
Sure.
There are guys from, not when I was there, it was after my time, but... my high school, like, their dudes are in jail.
Ooh.
Because there was this situation, and when the Andrea found out about the Brenda, they both went to the cops.
Ooh, yikers. Yeah, the closest we got was that the drama teacher at my high school married a girl who had been one of his students, like, when she was pretty young. Like, young enough that people were like, oh, gross. They probably dated when she was still in school. Yuck.
Ooh.
I don't know that for a fact. Don't look it up. Anyway, it's the next day. Andrea and Brenda have to do their scene. Brenda is well prepared to play someone who hates her scene partner, as we hear in clip 13.
Brenda, I am so terrified about this scene.
Hey, don't worry about it.
Brenda, it's really weird, but Chris is so not what I expected.
What happened to Mr. Suter?
Oh, well, I had a really great time last night.
Was that before or after you dunked me up?
Hey, look, really, I didn't mean to invade your territory. It's just, he's so smart, you know? Genuinely interested in the things that I have to say.
Oh, Andrea, that's great.
Yeah, maybe it's because he's older, but he gets me in a different way than any of the kids at West Beverly do.
Andrea.
But the thing is, until last night, I didn't even realize I had these feelings for him at all.
Andrea, that's good, and I'm really happy for you. But we do have a scene to do, and if you don't mind, I would like to ruin some lives. That's okay with you.
We don't get to see them run lines, but we do get to cut right to their scene where they're tearing into each other as their characters in the turning point, and then shit gets real in clip 14.
You are a liar.
You're a user. You have been your whole life. Me, Michael, pretending to love him, and now Amelia?
I'm better for her than you are.
The hell you are.
Brenda obviously slaps her for real. Everyone is shocked. No one more than Andrea.
Including Donna and her mime makeup.
Oh, yeah. Yikes.
People, on your feet, clapping. That shit was awesome.
The other reason that I didn't cut any clips because there's a million of them, but you need to watch this episode just to see the shawl acting from both Brenda and Andrea in the scene. It's like the shawls are so dumb and pointless and affected, but it's kind of hilarious.
Oh, and it's such classic high school. We need to give them something so they won't do that flappy blocking that James Vanderbeek always fell free to on Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
Like, well, if we strap their elbows to their sides, maybe that'll stop, and it never does.
Nope. Anyway, Andrea goes out to the hall to confront Brenda. She has her glasses off in this scene and several scenes afterwards, which is a bad call because it makes her look 1,000.
Yes, it does.
And we hear how things go down in clip 15.
That is not how we rehearsed the slap.
Oh, no?
You know damn well it wasn't.
Well, I guess I just got too involved in my character.
That is so lame. There was something else behind that slap, and you know it.
Sense memory work?
Oh. And what is that memory based on?
Oh, quick learner.
I think you know, teacher's pet. This is perfect. I confide in you, share my feelings. Something I never do, and you completely turn on me.
Yeah, well, who confided in who first?
I said I was sorry, Brenda. I had no idea that he was interested in me as anything more than a pupil with stage fright.
Yeah, well, now we know differently, don't we?
Look, Brenda, you can't steal something from someone that they don't have in the first place.
Ooh. You know, all school year, I listened to you rattling on and on about your feelings for my brother.
This has nothing to do with Brandon.
You're right. It has to do with you and me.
Not anymore.
Okay.
I love the assertion that Brenda has been listening to Aunt Andrea droning on and on about Brandon. Like, we've seen virtually no evidence of that at all, but okay.
Exactly. Also, you functionally have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
What a bitch. Whatever. Anyway.
In case you forgot, Dylan and I broke up, Brenda. Speaking of Dylan, after Brenda's finished telling Cindy that she was a supreme bitch, as we heard in the intro, Dylan returns. He shows up at the Walsh house with all kinds of very cliched Hawaii gifts. He's wearing an Aloha shirt, obviously. And that helps smooth over things for Brenda because, you know, seeing him in front of her and not just as a fantasy helps her remember, oh, yeah, this is the guy I like. Meanwhile, Andrea has gone out for this coffee with Chris and they're back in his truck parked in front of her house when he makes her laugh, which is also a mistake. In clip number 16. God.
Wait, I got a better one.
Okay.
It's the Taming of the Shrew, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running around on stage in this one-piece 17th century tights thing.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen it.
Anyway, everyone's backstage giggling because they thought it would be a great prank if they poured honey down the back.
No.
Yes. So I'm out there reciting Shakespeare with honey stuck to my butt.
Oh my God. I know it's not her fault, but that is the most old lady laugh I've ever heard outside of an actual old lady.
Yeah, well, it's not outside of an actual old lady, so...
Not really.
Let's move on to the extremely ironic next clip that does nothing to draw attention away from Gabrielle Carteris's non-teenagerness.
Yeah, I think I clipped off the beginning of it, but anyway, well, okay. Let's start clip 17.
When you smile, you get this funny little crinkle thing around your eyes. And I can't believe I just said that.
It's because I'm very old.
Oh, I'm very wise.
I'm about to do something very stupid.
He is right because he kisses her.
Ew.
No, we can't. We shouldn't do this.
I'm sorry,
Of course, the first totally engaging girl I meet in Los Angeles turns out to be my student.
Ex-student.
Oh, if you were just 5 years older, or if I was 5 years younger.
Oh, Chris, I wish you weren't leaving.
Well, you still have me for 2 more days. Mm. 2 more nights.
Mm. What?
Ugh. Can I see you again?
You just finished saying you can't do anything with her, and then he asks her out again and kisses her again. Like, make up your mind.
Also, you have a pickup truck. Throw a mattress down back there and make your intentions clear or fuck off. Actually, just fuck off. You're a
Seriously.
Terrible actor.
He is so bad. There's a picture of him giving her this intense, I suppose he thinks it's sexy stare. It's really, really, really not. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like, get more fiber, Mr. Suter. Get it now.
Yes. So the next day he goes to pick up Andrea. Apparently he's really late because she has to say, I thought you forgot about me. And then she exposits that her mom and her sister are out in a movie. Sister we never, I believe, hear about again or definitely never meet,
we
as
never
far as
see.
I remember. Yeah.
What do you suppose her sister's name is?
Well, you had some guesses before we started.
Rachel?
Yeah, one of yours was Antoinette, which I...
Antoinette. Naomi.
Yeah. Anyway, so he goes to pick her up and tells her he's got great news. And here it is, clip 18.
I'm staying in Los Angeles.
You are? Well, that's great.
Yeah, I got a job teaching at the Winston School for Girls.
Well, that's supposed to be the best private school in all of Los Angeles.
That's what I hear.
Easy
so,
pickings.
When are you going to Chicago to get your stuff?
My girlfriend's bringing it out with her.
Your what?
Look, I wanted to mention it, but...
Mention it.
Andrea.
Trust, truth, and risk. That is all you talked about this summer.
Yeah, and you can't tell me you haven't implemented those things into your life, right?
You have a clever way of just twisting things around you.
Andrea, it's my job to make you feel safe so that you can learn and grow.
Ugh.
I wanted to gain your trust by painting a picture of who you wanted me to be. If it meant leaving out pieces of my personal life, well, I'm sorry. But you can't say I didn't do my job.
Yeah, I can.
Honey, me. I thought what we had was personal.
Look, Andrea, if you were just 5 years older...
If I were just 5 years older, you would still be cheating on your girlfriend.
Andrea, yep. You're an incredible girl. I wish you could know that as well as I do. But you're in high school. And I'm a teacher. And, We just can't do this.
That's not what you said last night, was it?
Look, I'm really sorry. I made a mistake, okay? I let my guard down and it wasn't professional.
Yeah. And it wasn't fair either. Besides my friend Brandon, you're the only guy I've ever let my...
Andrea.
I think you better go. Mr. Suter.
Ooh. I love this retcon of like, well, now I've got a job in LA. I might run into her or her parents or someone might sue me. So I guess I'll come up with this whole story about how I was making her let her guard down. Gross.
Yeah. Although I will say, how do we, this will be in the visual aids. How do we feel about her outfit in this scene?
It's not bad. I mean, for
her, it's great.
Grading on a curve. It does still have polka dots, but they're like pretty restrained, you know. It's a fine late summer outfit for her.
For her.
Yeah, they do this hilarious tableau at the door that's so Tennessee Williams. It's also in the visual aids. It's like, everyone, just calm down. You had a date and a half. But yeah, his whole thing sort of falls apart when you remember, oh yeah, he totally kissed her multiple times in his truck. Whatever, dude. And we never see him again. Moving on, we go to the beach club where this luau is happening. There's a lot of awkward white hula-ing slash cultural appropriation. But Dylan is also there, and he and Brenda discuss their summer apart in clip 19.
Dylan, this thing that we have is so confusing.
It doesn't have to be.
I mean, when we're together, it's great, but...
What? You want to be a free agent?
While you were gone, I went after another guy. An older guy.
And
I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad that Dylan doesn't really push it because it's in line with his whole I don't kiss and tell persona. And they are broken up, so he doesn't try to be too possessive, and good for him. I'm sure Brandon would not be in the same situation.
Yeah. And I think he knows that, like, don't fuel the Brenda drama fire by getting bent about it. But this is a very close mirror, or I guess the next one is a mirror of this one. Mm. At the end of the Summer of Deception, when they have that talk on the beach. And
yep.
She's like, I had the chance to cheat on you with Reek, and I didn't. And he's like, and, you know, yeah. By that time I super hated Dylan. And it was like, are you really giving everyone attitude when you're the cheater? But, okay.
Totally. And then
she's like, you know, I could have, like, I had my opportunities. And he's like, so?
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm just glad the summer's over. And then they stare into the sea, and then she never wants to see him again. And yeah.
We'll get there. Soon enough, we will get there.
We sure will.
And then Dylan glances up and says this, clip 20.
Isn't that Andrea Zuckerman?
No, it's Andrea Zuckerman. No. And it's season two. You should have learned her name by now.
Zuckerman?
No, he said Zuckerman, he said Andrea.
Oh.
It's not her name. Or it is,
no,
and it's...
Dylan. That's not Andrea Zuckerman. Jesus.
Anyway, Andrea is in fact there and is hugging herself against the winds of change, looking extremely...
Talk about a drama queen. How'd she even get there?
I mean, I guess she can drive, probably. Maybe she borrowed someone's car, but I don't know how she got into the beach club because I thought it was private. But anyway, Brenda sees that it's her, and they go over and try and smooth things over in our final clip.
Look, about the slap,
me too, huh?
You're not the one who should be apologizing. It's me. I'm the one who was completely envious over her. Whatever it is with Chris.
Was with Chris.
Did you go out with him? Did you?
No. Chris Suter isn't who you think he is, Brenda.
Well, he's going back to Chicago.
No, he isn't. He's, he's staying in Los Angeles and he's bringing his girlfriend out.
That two-faced
Brenda look. Let's just make a pact that we will never let a man get between us.
between us again, okay?
Especially a teacher.
Hey, what are you crying for?
Oh, I just really need Tinker to be with people here tonight.
Well, then you came to the right place, so no?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess you didn't study accents in your drama class this summer.
Yeah, or countries.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's as good as that storyline could get being wrapped up. It's so stupid. Like, it's so out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, both of them are like, this is really, you know, 14 minutes worth, if that. And then it drags on for 46, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is like, this is a typical episode 6 of a bazillion episode order. Like, they're just filling until they can get back to school and somehow get everyone into the same class.
Yep.
Whatever.
And that's
it's over. We survived.
that's it for the episode. Let's wrap it up with the most valuable player. Sarah, who is your choice?
This is kind of a tough one, but I'm going to go with Jimmy the cab driver, used car lot guy.
Yeah, that's my pick too. I mean, he's unapologetic. He did get Brandon's money. He had no consequences. He didn't need to because he didn't offer him a warranty for his shitty lemon of a car. So yeah, you get yours. Simon is his name, apparently. Does not look like a Simon. Well, that's what Brandon calls him, Simon, which also really weird. Does not look like a Simon in the least. More like a Dwayne. Anyway, least valuable player. It's tough because Brandon is so self-righteous, but Mr. Suter is the one who is actually breaking the law, kind of, so gotta go with him.
I think those are both wonderful choices, but I'm gonna go with Jim for fucking giving in to his shit sock son again.
Yep.
Dead.
Totally. And now the Kim challenge.
Bad, and dangerous to me.
5 reasons from this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Sarah, start us off.
Well, he doesn't know how to pronounce your name correctly, so he's bad. It's just bad.
Yeah, he brings home vegetable or flora from Hawaii that could be riddled with disease.
Uh-huh.
He could accidentally take your eye out when he's like flinging one over your head to try to be a big shot.
His terrible hula dancing on the beach is probably an offense to Pele, so that's inviting some kind of curse.
Yeah, and his hip bone could also put your eye out, but my final one is that if he's insufficiently curious about the opportunities that you had to cheat on him with the teacher, he could get himself punched in the face.
Yeah, he also...
Or stage slapped by Brenda.
That too, but also the fact that he doesn't follow up makes you just, you have to wonder,
yes,
is it because he has stories of
exactly
his own that he's not sharing? He doesn't, that we know, but still, he could. And that's it.
He does, and they rhyme with derpies. Next time, it's a literal cliffhanger after the gang goes camping next to some derpy newlyweds, and Dylan says, "I don't," to sobriety. You can read all about that and see the visual aids for this episode and many other things on previously.tv. You can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. You can follow my esteemed co-host Tara at Tara Ariano. Dave is at Glark, and I'm at Tomato Nation. We'll see you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.